Okay, so, all right, so we have sort of, I think we have just a one shear mitzvah, one siman here. It happens to be this week's parsha, the very end of this week's parsha. It happens to be something that appears in our tefillin, like every day, you know, that we wear them, and that is the mitzvah of pidyon peter chamor. So the other pidyonos are also pidyon b'chor and pidyon b'chor behema is also mentioned there, but this one is exclusively mentioned here. And I will admit this is one of the stranger mitzvos that you will see. But you do see it. I mean, if you do a Google search on pidyon peter chamor, there are a bunch of videos that will come up. It is something that is doable. The most recent one I found was from the Torah Academy of Baltimore, I think. Or Talmudical Academy of Baltimore, where the I meant to look up what the backstory was, if there's an article about it, but the owner of the donkey was someone that I sort of knew. I know the last name is Elman. I think the son, who was also in the video, was in YU with me. I think the father, who owned the donkey for some reason, is friends with my uncle. I remember talking to him at one of the simchas and stuff like that. So anyways, this is done, and it's also done purposely. Now, when we've learned, people will go out of the way to, like, there are those that will go out of the way to buy a donkey over the course of their life in order to be able to accomplish this mitzvah. It is somewhat more, in fact, just recently, the principal of the school here, Rabbi Anton, mentioned to me, like, yeah, we should, I think, like, I don't know why people don't do pidyon peter chamoras more often. It's very doable, and there's not much of a risk. So what does it mean there's not much of a risk? So we will see. So on the first page, on the first page of the sources, I just put the pasuk in Chumash. That appears again at the end of this week's parsha, and it appears in the second parsha of Tefillin. So the pasuk here says, "V'chol peter chamor tiftevaseh," that every firstborn donkey, male donkey, tifteh v'seh, will be redeemed with a lamb. Vim lo tifteh v'arafto. And if you don't redeem it, so you will be ba'arafto. What is an araf? So araf is, you hit the back of its neck, meaning you'll kill it. So, now that's not the mitzvah, it's only if you're not podet. But v'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tifteh. And you will redeem every firstborn of the firstborn sons, meaning that's referring to the b'chor, pidyon haben, as we've talked about. But the first part of the pasuk is, if you have a peter chamor, you have to pod it with a seh, and if not, if you don't pod it, you will break its neck. That is the din. Now, there's an additional pasuk which I didn't put in that mentions that this amongst the matnas kahuna, meaning you, not if you do redeem it with a goat, so that goat, you don't keep the goat, the goat goes to a kohen, which also means that a kohen, and it seems like a levi as well, are exempt from this mitzvah. So, Joel, you're not, if you'd like to go buy a donkey, doesn't do anyone any good. It needs to be a Yisrael who owns the donkey, and as we discussed in the previous section with Bechor Behema Tahora, they need to be the singular owner of the donkey. It needs to be only theirs. They have to own the entire thing. So what are some of the details here? So if we take a look at the tour, so page 2 in the source sheet, so the tour here says, Bechor behema tereya, noheg b'chol makum b'chol zman, ve'enu noheg el b'chamorim. Meaning, in theory, this should apply to all behema tereyas, but it is only noheg by a chamor. We only do it by a donkey. V'ze mitzvaso shekol Yisrael sheyeshel chamura shebichra podeyu b'seh. Bein zachar, bein akeva, bein tam, bein balmum, bein gadol, bein katam, v'itnenu l'kohen. Below the Kohenis. So whether it's you'll be poded with a seh, but it is, I mean, the seh, I believe, wait a second. Yeah, the seh could be male, female, tam, balmum, gadol, katan, and that's v'itnenu l'kohen, and then you give that to the Kohen, and not to a Kohenis. Ve'ein lo zman yadua, ela miyad l'chashiyolad achiyamos, there's no specific zman for it, but as soon as it's born, until it's dead, meaning at some point over the course of its life you need to do it. And ve'ein lo zman yadu el miyad l'chashiyolad ad shiyamuz el shemitzvah hu liftos hu miyad sho lahachmitz ha-mitzvah kevin shebol liyadu. But really you should do the mitzvah right away so that we don't lose the mitzvah once it comes into your hands. U'la'achar she'yiftenu hu chulin gemur, and after you poed it is chulin. U'mutter begizo va'avoda kishar chulin, and is mutter to shear and to work like other chulin. And the kohen also, I mean the kohen now gets the goat. So the goat also is going to be chulin, as opposed to when it comes to behor behema tahora. When the
is a goat a donkey? I'm not sure. You said goat.
A goat. No, the donkey is redeemed for a goat.
Oh, I thought a sheep. Okay.
Oh. I think bein zachar bein nekeva. So which one? I guess a ram and the sheep are the double, right?
Ram is an older male sheep, but a young male sheep is also called a set.
Right.
So wait a second. So he gets to keep the donkey if he gives the
right. So the donkey, right. So the Israel, the farmer or the donkey dealer, right. So he'll get the donkey. He redeems the donkey has kedusha though. So the donkey is redeemed for the sheep, ram, goat, right, which is then given to the kohen as a matnos kahuna. At the end, when all settles, neither one has kedusha. So even though, which is odd, and as I was looking around today, someone made the comment: this is the only such halacha that we have anywhere, the only such mitzvah where the kedusha dissipates. Right? Normally, when you are poda kedusha, so it has to go onto something else. But here, it just evaporates. So once the pidyon happens, the goat is. I don't believe the goat is even kadosh at that point. It's just a mitzvah to give it to a kohen. So therefore, that goat is then given to the kohen, and then and neither one has kedusha. Both could do whatever they want.
A donkey. So. You mean it because is it the goat is can be kadosh. You mean a donkey?
Understand. No, the donkey gets redeemed for a goat. The goat gets given to a kohen.
Okay. All right.
And then both are. And then neither one has any kedusha afterwards.
I mean, okay, so it could be a sheep or a goat.
Yeah, a kosher behema. Yes.
All right.
Right. So that is and that is the mitzvah. Now the other part of this is if for every reason you decide you're not going to do the pidyon, so then you can't keep the donkey around. You have to break its neck. Okay, that is the. Those are the various aspects of this mitzvah. So you do it right away. Continues the Torah. Ulach arshiv denu hu chulin gemur. And after you're poded, it is a full-fledged chulin. Right? They're both, and the kohen also, he could do with the seh, the goat, that which he, whatever he wants. So that is the mitzvah. The you're asking before why the donkey as opposed to other non-kosher animals. So the donkey seems to have several roles in our theology. I mean, a donkey kind of keeps popping up. And I remember hearing a piece, I couldn't track down it inside, I think I might have spoken about this in shul at some point, but Rav Sobolevsky has a piece that he likes quoting regularly about the chamor, where he says that the chamor is so to speak a Jewish, has like a sort of Yiddish, Jewish inside, but treif chitzonios. I mean, the outside is no good, but the inside, it has some semblance of kashrus to it, just without simanim. So that perhaps is why the donkey is the symbol of Mashiach coming. The donkey was involved with taking Avram to do Kedas Yitzchak, right? And the donkey appears various places over our theology as perhaps representing and as having that theme of being kosher but without with treif. Outward signs, which need to, so to speak, be defeated in order for its truth to come through. So because there's like some aspect of kashrus when it comes to the donkey, so therefore it is considered, that's why this halacha applies to it. That's at least the thought. Yeah. Okay, so now... Now this the halacha that we said it needs to be redeemed for one of these kosher behemas, so that's not totally true. So if we continue on with hay here, it's not the only thing. So the tour continues. V'cheshem shepodu b'seh, kach podu b'chol mashiyirta. Just as you can redeem it with a seh, with a goat, so too it can be redeemed with anything you want. Ella shekeshepodu b'shar, Kol davar tzarek liftosu b'shavuyav. Except the only thing is, when you redeem it for anything else, you are required to redeem it for its value, right? So I could be pod valseh, but with a goat, right? It says a goat, right?
Yeah? It's really a sheep.
A what?
Sheep.
Sheep. Okay. A valseh, but a sheep. Afilu einu shava ella kol shehu upadeyu bo padui. But with a seh, even if it's only worth a very small amount and not the equivalent of the donkey, the pidyon would still work on it. But if you do something, right, so that's the distinction. So if I want to give the Kohen a box of Sfarim, so the box, the set of Sfarim needs to be of higher value than the donkey, right? So you could redeem it onto anything else, but that anything else needs to be equal or more, worth equal to or more than the donkey, as opposed to the sheep, right? The sheep, even if it's less than the donkey, that would work with regards to its pidyon. So the Beis Yosef here picks up here in Hay. He says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Perakamad B'chor." Right, you can pod it for anything else. So where does that come from? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Reish Lakish, says the Beis Yosef here in Hay. Right, Mishi Yeshlo Peter Chamor Ve'Ein Lo Se. Let's say you have a Peter Chamor, but you don't have a sheep. Liftoso Podu B'Shavuyev. So then you would have to be pod it with something of equivalent value. Umasik Hasam and comments over there the Taimushim Delo Yehi Chamor Mina Hektish. So when the Torah says, brings up the seh is not being used as a chumrah, but rather being used as a kula. So it's going to be redeemed for a seh, but that is that's not a chumrah, that it only should be done with the seh, rather that is a kula. That if it's done with a seh, we don't have to worry about what the value of the seh is. That if you do redeem it with a sheep, you can even use a pitroza sheep, which apparently is a very skinny sheep. Rav Nachman Reid, Rav Yosi Pariklei, right? Beshilki, Beshavian Perish, Sheilki, Asavim Shalokos. That what that it eats very, I don't know, also some kind of scrawny animal. So the tour continues though. He says Umasha Kasiv Aval Se Afilu Eno Shava Ela Kol Shehu. But if the se is only worth a tiny amount, Upadu Bo Padoi, it works. Aval Habo Limlach Betchila. Says the halacha is though that yes, technically a set of any value, of actually completely of any value, would be fine. But we say that it needs to be worth at least gimel dinarim. Why is that? So the Gemara, this is also sort of a strange halacha. The Gemara here says sham tanya tifte. That's the halacha, meaning any amount, if this, no matter how much the set is worth, that's able to be to do pidyon. So then the Gemara says, "V'kama Amar Yosef hilchasa patroza bardanka." That upeirash Rashi patroza shem set kachosh, meaning a very skinny sheep. A bardanka she'enu shav elameya. That's only worth a meya, meaning apparently not worth so much. Rabbi Yehuda nesia havile peter chamor shadari lekame de Rabbi Tarfon. So then he tells a story. The Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that there was a pet with regards to Rabbi, that he had a chamor that lived by Rav Tarfon. So I'm like kama beino lemesav lekohen. So he says, I assume Rabbi Tarfon says to Rabbi Yehuda, right? How much do I need to give to the kohen? I mean, what needs to be the value? So I'm like, well, hare amru ayin yafa besela ayin ra b'shekel beinonis. He says, well, if you're a very generous person, a sela, and if you're a stingy person, a shekel beinonis. So Rava comments. Hilchasa bargia. So he says, well, you should give a bargia. And how much is that? Gimel zuze. So the Gemara itself raises the question, hey, wait a second. I thought we just got through saying that a sheep could be any amount. Right? Kasha hilchasa hilchasa. Kolomar dil'el amar halacha gedibri chachamim. That filu bardanka. That the halacha was like the chacham. That even a very skinny, scrawny animal, that's worth nothing. So lo kasha kambava limlach. Kanba osem me'atzma. Says, well, no problem. One is when the person asks versus when a person doesn't ask. So if they don't ask, you're right. Me'ikar din, any tiny amount, no matter how much no matter how scrawny the sheep is, it's still going to work with regards to a pidyon. But if you ask the question, so we say you should at least have a sheep that has some amount of value, the amount of 3 zuzos. Now, how this compares actually to how much sheep actually costs in the day. Not sure. Don't really know. But that's a slight distinction that then is that with regards to that halacha. So if you take a look here in the Shulchan Aruch, so I guess skip to a page. So the Shulchan Aruch here, Hilchos Petach Hamor, just one sif on the siman on this halacha. It says b'chor behema tamei noig b'chol machum b'chol zman ve'inu noig el b'chamorim by donkeys. V'zem mitzvaso shekol Yisrael sheyesh l'chamor shebichra podeu b'seb min hakvasim o min ha'izim bein zach bein akiva bein tam bein balmum bein gadol bein katam v'yitnu l'kohen. Right, so you use a sheep of any of these types of sheep, and it's given to the kohen. U'me'ema sai chayev lifto. So from when are you chayev? From when it's born until when it dies. El shem mitzvah lifto, so miyah you should do it right away, because you don't want to delay the mitzvah. U'lachashe yifdenu hu chulin, and after your poded becomes chulin. U'mutter begiza va'avoda b'shar chulin, va'koin yasa gamkein b'seh, kamo b'shar chulin. And it's mutter begiza and avoda like other chulin, and the kohen should also yasa gamkein b'seh, like he does other chulin. I mean, the kohen could do whatever he wants with the seh. So then it gives some exceptions, not sure in Sif Beis, in Podin lo be'egel, not with a calf, nor a chaya, nor a seh, shachet, v'lo be'trefel, be'klaim, v'lo be'koy. Not sure why no egel. Why can't you use an egel? I guess it has to be comparable to a seh. Okay. But he adds in, but if the egel is of greater value than the donkey, so then that would be fine. In terms of the exception, though, it needs to be a seh, which, as I think we saw in today's daf, can mean various different things. But mostly likely a sheep, maybe a goat as well. That's base. Gimel ain't podin b'seh domel min acher v'im pada padoi, that if you shouldn't use a seh that looks like another animal, a nidmeh, as we learned also in today's daf. And then dalet is Todin Ben Pekua, you could use a Ben Pekua. Some say you can't. Like, I didn't get into why that would be. Ben Pekua is an animal you killed an animal and found a living animal inside. That's a Ben Pekua. So it has special halachos. That would work. Then we get to hay. So hay is this issue with the amount of the pidyon. It says there, Im ein lo selif dosa podeu b'shivuyev. If you don't have a seh, so then you should use something of the equivalent value to the donkey, and then you could be poda with anything. The nosein dam of the kohen, you give the money to the kohen. Lo amra toira lahachmer alav el hakel alav. That's not a chumra, that's a kula. Shim haya lo peter chamor sheshava asara salayim yeshu lif dosu b'seh. That if you have a very expensive chamor, so you can use a seh, that's only worth a dinar. So long as it's 3 zuz and up. But if it is less than 3 zuz, ein podino so el beseh, o begimel zuzin, v'ayin yafe lo yifchos miselav, ein ra b'chatzi sela, uveinu nis begimel zuzin. So it gives these smaller amounts, if you're generous, a little larger, or small, but you shouldn't go below these gimel zuzin. So the... Yeah. Fine. So
if your seh is below three zuzin, you have to ask for.
If it's below three, so it depends if you ask a shaila. I mean, if you ask somebody, they'll tell you you should give him more. But if you do it on your own, that's what the Gemara said. That if you just give it on your own, and the coin doesn't evaluate or anything like that, you would be yotzei even with the smaller amount. It's sort of like a durabanan or something that we try to make it a little bit nicer, but it's not really required. So the Rama adds in, by the way, that you could use the same goat several times, meaning if you buy it back from the coin, the coin has this extra goat now, so you can just buy it back from the coin. So if you buy it back, so then it could potentially be used for the next donkey, right? It's not a, it doesn't, there's no limitations on that. Or if there's a, the Ramah adds in, if there's a suffik peter chamor, so then in that case you would separate the tle, which remains yours. So this we'll see a little bit more in a couple of minutes. But as opposed to pidyon haben, where we said a motzi mechaver olav araya, and pidyon peter chamor, and pidyon, well, they all had a slightly different halacha when it came to sveikos. Right, when it came to the pidyon haben, so then we said amotzim echaver alav araya, and he doesn't have to give anything. When it came to the bechor behema tahora, so there we also, I mean, we say still say amotzim echaver alav araya, but still the bechor would need to be separated. And so to here, if it's a safek chamor bechor, also you have to do the pidyon, but then you keep the animal yourself. Meaning, as opposed to putting it to the side, and it has no kedusha. Meaning, you could be poded onto a goat, and then you keep the goat. So you're left with, or the sheep, right? So you're left with a donkey, and you're left with a sheep, and there's no, like, that's it. There's it's just chulin at that point, as opposed to the pidyon petach pidyon b'chor behemah tahora, which still had kedusha and needed to get itself a mum in order for it to be eaten. Okay, all right. So now Vav, the actual ceremony of the pidyon is not so clear. Vav is really the only place where the actual ceremony is described. Now there are sort of minhagim that have been built around it, but here we go. Vav is really the main thing. It's not right. Miyad, as soon as you separate the tle, tachas petech hamor, chazar hapetech hamor chulin. Right. So right away, as soon as you say, I'm hereby being poda onto this goat, so or the sheep. So right away, the sheep is the chamor becomes chulin right away, even before you give it to the kohen. Meaning, right as we said, it's only there's sort of separate aspects. There's a pidyon onto the bechor, onto the sheep, and then the sheep is given to the kohen as a matnos kahuna. So, but even if you don't, that's sort of like a separate mitzvah. So, but even before you give it to the kohen, already the donkey loses its kedusha, and you're allowed to get hanah from it. V'meis lo yikaver, and if it dies, you don't have to bury it. Meaning, it's just like any other animal. V'kohen zacha b'seh miyad, and the kohen gets the seh right away. Right? V'hu ba'achriyuso she'meis biyad abaylim kodem shenasdu l'kohen petur. But it's his achrayus. So if it dies in the hands of the Baal before he gives it to the Kohen, it's potter. I give it to the Kohen if I have this living animal that I have to give to him. But if it dies, so then, all right, that's it dies, no big deal. The fichach miyad, so in order to really be yotze, as soon as you separate it, kishem afrisho, mevarich asher ki yisham savet sivanu al pidyon petach hamor. So as soon as we separate the, I assume it means the seh, already at that point, we would then make the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu. Right. The Shachir says, "Vein lahamtin ad sheyitin hapidyon liyad kohen, the hapadui hu me'achshav." Right. It's poda right away. Now, I couldn't tell. I looked around in the Siddurim. The Arskel Siddur, it doesn't have a Seder Hadvarim for how to do this. It does say right here what the bracha is, right? The bracha, it says, make the Asher Kishav Savit Sivanu Al Pidyon Petach Hamor. Right, that's the bracha. But is there something else that is said along the way? I don't know. I saw one video of them doing it where it looks like the guy is holding like a sheet of paper, but the only thing that they put on the video, right, they didn't video the whole thing. It was sort of like one of these like commercial videos that a school sends out as like, look what your kids are doing all day. So it was sort of the only part that they had was him actually saying the bracha, and there was a and he said the bracha next to the goat, next to the goat, right, and the donkey was sort of the other end of the table. So he's sort of making the bracha on separating, on the goat, and then he actually picks up the goat. That's also in the picture, or the sheep. He picks up the sheep, and that is the ceremony, right? And then you give it to a kohen. But I don't know, it wasn't in the video, him giving it to a kohen. But in theory, he's supposed to give it to a kohen, the kohen gets his goat. Gets his goat, right. Okay, some kind of expression, yeah. So the Kohen gets the goat. Now, there is, the Taz here raises an interesting question. He says, hey, wait a second. Lama lo, b'prisha hiksha, lama lo mevarchim gamkein anasinis b'chor behema tahora l'kohen. He says, why don't you make the bracha when you give it to the Kohen? Just like pidyon petach hamor, right? Why did you make the bracha? Right, the Shulchan Aruch didn't talk about making a bracha and giving the bechor behema tahora to the kohen. It only talks about making a bracha here. Upidyon bechor adam. And by Pidyon Bechor Adam also, there you also make a bracha. But we spent about a month and a half on Bechor Behema Tahora. There is no mention on making a bracha there. So continues the Taz and says, V'teretz de'im mevarach elet mishen nishar biyadu mimasha haya kodesh, v'nosein midei achrini tachtav. He says, you only make a bracha where you retain in your hands that which was kodesh. So in the case of the donkey, you keep the donkey. In the case of the baby, you keep the baby, right? But in the case of the Bechor Behema Tahora, there it goes to the Kohen. So there, as opposed to giving the Bechor, the Nosil Kula, it's all given to the Kohen. But Lonisha, you don't keep anything from the Kedusha, and therefore you don't make the Bracha. So he quotes that from the Prisha. But the Taz says, V'ein zeh maspikli, he says, that's not enough for me. The Mikol Makom, lama lo yivarech al mitzvah? He said, why not? I mean, why did you make a bracha on the mitzvah? The mali bekach, what does it matter that you don't keep it in your hands? Right? You still were yotzi the mitzvah. So, asher ki yishanu mitzvah zivanu al, and then apin yom kachat hachamor, and you give it. I mean, what's the problem? So, v'nir li, no. The ein shaykh bracha el b'mesha osa ha'adam nishalo, al zeh mevarech, shezacha lasos bishalo ratzon hamakom. He says, when do you make the bracha? When it's your thing. If it's your object, so you have you're making a bracha that I was able to be makdish, I was zocha to be able to do with my thing, the ratzon of Hashem, that which Hashem wanted. As opposed to, by a bechor animal, regular animal, a kosher animal, the mi'olam lo yal li'Yisrael z'chuspo. The Yisrael never owned it, right? It was never his. Mishanolad hu be giza derachmana v'havak ilu lo nolad lo, right? Oso habachor elk ilu nolad beves kohen. It's not. It's as if it wasn't born to him, rather was born to a kohen. That meaning there was a kohen animal born to him from his flock, from his parasa. Derachmana zachalo bekach kamoshakasov kol peterechem lihu. Kain ain shayich levarit ki hu eino osa klum mimamono. Therefore, you don't make a you wouldn't make a bracha because it's not your own money, it's not your own things you're doing a mitzvah with. It was never yours, it was the coins. So therefore you're just giving it to its rightful owner. As opposed to a bechor, as opposed to a donkey, we do say it's your donkey, you just have to do a pidyon with it. Or the baby, it is your baby, you just have to do whatever you with it. So even though every time you have a pidyon aben, everybody makes a joke about maybe the father doesn't want to keep it, you know, the father says, I wanted to make a deal, but then I was up with the baby at 3 in the morning, and I started having second thoughts, and all these kinds of things, right? So all that is really incorrect, meaning it really is your baby. There's really no choice about whether you're, and part of it, again, as I think we pointed out at the time, is because of that paragraph we say before, where the Kohen says, so, what do you want? Do you want the baby? Do you want, right? So that sort of throws everybody off. But really, Me'ikar Adin, it's yours the whole time. The only thing that's not yours is a Bechor Behema Tahora. But the donkey is yours. That's why there's a brach on Pidyon HaBen and Pidyon Petach HaMor, but no brach on Bechor Behema Tahora. I was thinking this is also similar to the question everybody asks by Tzedaka and Chesed and things like that. Why don't you make a bracha when you give Tzedaka? So there's all sorts of answers that are given for that. But perhaps you could say, because that's also not your money. Right, I mean, the ideal way to think about tzedakah is that Hashem gave us whatever we have, and we're supposed to be giving a portion of it to tzedakah. Right, Hashem sort of endows us with the ability to choose where to send that money, but really we're just trustees doing what we're supposed to do with the money that's granted to us. So maybe that would be like a potential reason why we wouldn't make a bracha on tzedakah either, sort of similar vort, even though halachically it doesn't work. I mean, tzedakah really is your money and you're deciding what to do with it, but still we can... but still maybe that would be applicable. Okay. Now, perhaps the most lumdish part of this simon is Sif Zion. Yeah. So Sif Zion here, Yisrael shepada peter chamor shel chavero hu padui, u peter chamor hu levaylev. So Shulchan Aruch here says, and it's a Beferish Gemara in Bechoros, right, in Daf Yud Aleph, that Yisrael that is poda a peter chamor of their friend, it works. So what does that sound like? It sounds like I hear that... the Alan Appel has a donkey, a firstborn donkey, and he hasn't been poded yet. So I have the right to go and be poded myself. I could just be poded myself and sort of like take my own seh and say, okay, I'm being poded onto this goat, and then this goat goes to the Kohen. Now, monetarily, that's a little bit of a, I mean, that's a, I lose the goat as a result, but or the sheep, right? I'm losing it, but technically, I can go ahead and do that. The machro kodem pidyon demaya. Oh, sorry, I skipped something. Upetach hamor hu lebailev, and the petach hamor would belong to the owner, meaning he would still keep it. It's not a way that I can capture someone else's goat, but I could just be yotzi the mitzvah of pidyon petar chamor on that goat. So that's the halacha here. So where the lumdus is the question that it seems to be a different halacha when it comes to truma. So on the second to last page of the notes, so I put page aleph. So again, Rav Sobolovsky wrote a sefer Reishis Koach on Hilchos Bechoros. So the first page is on this issue. So it's it goes to the Gemara in Bechoros that po de petach hamora shel chaver pidyon upadoi. So Tosus there asks the question, hey, why? Did, but Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim that Torim Yishalo al chavero boi das bailim. That if someone else has a whole bunch of truma and I want to help him out, so I'll say, you know what, here, on behalf of, I'm taking some of my thing, I'm giving it to Cohen and as truma, and this is Yotze, your stuff. Especially remember that truma is Ein Lo Shir.
So you have to, if you're going to do that, you have to notify the owner that you're doing it. Is that...
Well, which? Truma or Petra Chamor?
Petra Chamor. Yeah.
So would you have to? I'm not sure what it means you have to, meaning it's effective. Now, it's probably a good idea to let him know because he's going to go and make a bracha on it later on, right? But so
well,
it's good.
That's what I wonder too. So then, yeah, that's one aspect. That's one.
So yes, one it's a good idea to let him know, but it's Yotze whether or not you let him know. So but by truma, the Gemara tells Maseches Nedarim, don't do that. You're not allowed to take off truma your stuff for somebody else's. So why? So Tosus there says, like Tosus in Maseches Bechoro says, and he's quoting it here, that by Truma, there's a pasuk that says, Gamatem, L'rabos shluchachem k'di'isabav metziah, that needs to be you or your shliach, that's who could be Yotzei Truma. But, and therefore, based on that, we see that there's some sort of possession aspect to Truma, that you who own the Truma, it's yours, and you who own the Tevel, it's yours, and you're responsible to take off Truma, and just because someone else goes ahead and does it, so you're not, he doesn't have bilus, he doesn't have a connection to your Truma, and he can't do it without your permission. As opposed to, so he continues, so continues on, So therefore somebody else could go ahead and do it. So it's a little bit of a question whether it works because of the concept of zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav, that I have the ability to sort of make kinyanim for somebody else that's in someone's interest, even though they don't know about it. Or it's denach la'adam l'kaimus ha'mitzvah shelo ba'atzma, or maybe it's not a... One second. Sorry, with regards to truma, it says that it's a question whether me separating truma would be because of zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav, or, and therefore I'm doing it like him, it's not his chus, because the person, he has his own mitzvahs to do. When it comes to pidyon petach hamor, where it doesn't say bailim, even somebody else going ahead and doing it would be yotze. Meaning, truma, there's sort of like a special connection that the person has with his grain, but by petach hamor, there's no special connection that a person would have with that donkey. So that's position number one, that there's just that truma and pidyon petach hamor are different from one another. He quotes, however, the Ritva in Kedushin that he disagrees with Tosos, and he says, no, the fact that Petach Hamor works, Pashinan Haibai Betori Mishalo al Shalchavero, Umaskin de Truma so Truma. That he says that he says they're actually the same thing. That Petar Chamor and Truma, that you actually are Yotze. If you separate someone else's Truma, you are Yotze. The Gemara is just telling us not to do it. The Chen Kasa Mishal Amal Chilchas Truma, the Trumas of Truma, Val Korch, the Pashat came in my Demahani Pidyon, Petar Chamor, Ayade Acher, Vich Divri Haritva Anal. Right? It's the same thing. So therefore, he suggests, so what is the idea that you could be Poda somebody else's thing? So the top of the second column, he says Tosfos over, and Tosfos says the Lo Asin Olam Midin Zachin Ladam Shel Lefanav El Diyesh Koach L'Lachad. It's not about idea of Zachin. It doesn't work because you're doing it on behalf of that other person. It just works because you have the right. There's a donkey that hasn't been redeemed yet, and someone else went ahead and redeemed it, and that's it. And Tosfos and the Ritva says no, that it has to do with Zachin. It's a form of Kinyanim. So he quotes here from the Machane Ephraim, that he says in Achim, and he goes and quotes a couple of other practical ramifications between these two, but he says, what about if the Baal protests? So according to Tosfos, it would work anyways, meaning the idea of Pinyon Petra Chamor is that there's no idea of ownership. You don't need ownership. There's just a donkey laying out there that needs to be redeemed. So you can go ahead and do it, despite the fact that you don't own it. As opposed to Truma, where it's owned by that person, and if he protests, so then you don't have a right to do it. The Ritva would say it would be the same thing. If the guy protests, then you would not have the right to go ahead and do it. Now, I know the Shulchan Aruch does not really take a stand on this, right? Shulchan Aruch leaves it open. With regards to that halacha, but the starting point is that, and befeirish is that you could be poded for somebody else. The question just would be, if that person protests, would he have the right to protest? Would he have the right to make it impossible for you to be to be poded his animal? One more piece here. The Shulchan Aruch here says in Sif Ches, on the page here, one more thing, back to the Shulchan Aruch Ches. So he says, Petr Chamor Aser Ba Na Achi Yifta. When it comes to the donkey, you're not allowed to get Hana from it until you are Podet. The Machro Kodem Pidyon Dama Vasurin. And if you sell it, meaning you didn't do a Pidyon, you just sold the animal, so now you have the money. So that money is also prohibited to be used. Now the Ramah adds in and says, that's only if you sell it without telling the guy. Meaning you tell the guy, hey, here's a donkey, you sell the donkey, now you have money. So now you have that money that's considered to be Kodesh. But if you tell the guy, this is a firstborn Chamor, and it hasn't been Poda yet, so then the guy accepts it. So he accepts it, he pays you money for it, and now he's got the holy donkey that he's got to go ahead and be Poda. Mashav Yosemi Asesh, if the Dhamma Vimtar Rafilu Lachachila, Mutu Lamachru B'chai Gavda. He says, it's even Lachachila, it's permissible to go ahead and do that. We're not going to stop you from going ahead and doing that. So that the... What?
Sell it to
If you sell it to a Jew, right, you'd have to sell it to a Jew. So the Piskei Tshuva here quotes on the bottom. There was, by the way, in the All Daf, one of the All Daf podcasts had a talk with Eliezer Brutt on specifically about the, we want to get into Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Derech Emuna, which actually covers this also, but he talks about Likut Svarim that's sort of just quote from all others, and he talks about like different types, and why some are considered to be much more impressive than others. So the Piskei Tshuva is an example. He says not just that it collects from other places, but he has the amazing gift of synthesis, meaning the Tshuva of the Nodvi Yehuda might be two or three pages long, but he doesn't just give you a summary, he gives you a summary with the main makor, with the main source, meaning you could really kind of know what the Nodvi Yehuda says and what he's like, why he's saying it, just by the two lines, and that itself is its own skill. So the Piskei Tshuva here, he says, Shekasav L'yashe Mashehiksha HaRaivid Alze. So he, the Nodvi Yehuda comes to answer that which the Raivid asked. Why? Because the Ravid asked that Rekaimelon Shein Isuri Hana Tovsin Demehem Rakavod Azara Vishrius. He says, wait a second, the Ravid asks, how could it be that when you sell the Chamor, now you have Kadosh money? The idea that the money automatically goes, the idea that whatever Isur Hana was on an object when you sell it, that only applies, says the Ravid, to a Shemitah and a Avodah Zarah. So why does it work here? V'chassad al-korchach lo amru klal zeh ele b'yisurei hana she'ein lehem takana hava petach hamor yesh lo takana she'achar pidyon hutar b'ana. So the Nodav Yehuda suggests, he says, yeah, but that's only where there's no way of fixing it. Meaning if something is Avodah Zarah or something is Shemitah, it's always going to be considered Shemitah, right? There's nothing to do about it. So you sell it. So now the money that you got in exchange for the Shemitah stuff has Kedusha Shvius because you're stuck. But if you have something to do with it, meaning here, there is still an Eitzah. I mean, if you sell the donkey, if Reuven sells the donkey to Shimon, and now without telling him, and now Reuven has that money, he can always just tell Shimon, oh, by the way, that donkey has Kedusha, you better do something with it. And once he does something with it, so then the money that Reuven has will lose its prohibition. So he says, "V'gam masha pri chodesh atzvo aser b'hanahu shelo lahafsid." According to Kach, gami machru hadamim asur mihay taima shari biyadu liftosa. Right? But say pri chodesh says that because he has the ability to be podet, even if he sells it to a kohen. Right. The isser is in order so that the coin doesn't lose out. So therefore you have what to do with it. Tell the guy, make sure it gets poda, and you'll give it to the coin. There's only problem is before the arifa is what he says, meaning you break the neck of the animal, or if you go ahead and be poda. Either way, at that point it's then going to be mutter. Okay, one or two more haros here. Yud, in Sif Yud, let's skip test, move to Yud. Yud says, Yisrael sheyesh lo safek peter chamor, yafri shalav tle, lehafkia isuro. That if you have a Yisrael that has a safek peter chamor, so you separate the goat to remove the iser, umaakev hatle l'atzim, but then he gets to keep it for himself. If he doesn't want to eat it, and not give it to a Kohen, so then he has the right to go and knock its head, etc. So there is a comment that the Minchas Chinuch here has, at the end of the Mitzvah Chinuch has two mitzvahs here, right? One mitzvah is Mitzvah Chaf Beis, is the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor, and Mitzvah Chaf Gimel is the mitzvah Rifas Peter Chamor, meaning if you don't go ahead and redeem it, so then you got to break its neck. So at the very end of the Arifas Peter Chamor, so he discusses, he says, hey, you know, if you could do a pidyon chamor without the owner's knowledge, can you do an arifas behema without the owner's knowledge too? Right? The same thing would apply. I know the guy has a donkey laying around. It hasn't been poda. So maybe I could take my own club, my own cleaver, and knock it in the back of the head, and nothing would happen to me. So the Minchas Chinuch here says, he says that no. He says the donkey still belongs to the guy. You don't really have a right to do it. So in the Minchas Chinuch here, you see in the Shalomi Das Bailim, so the bottom right, the second to last paragraph on the right column, so a couple lines in here, he says, Achasfar no senes the bishlama pidya mitzvah al kol yish Yisrael. He says, when it comes to the pidyon, that's a mitzvah for everybody to do. But la'arof, but to break the neck, how can you go and break something without the owner's knowledge? Hamazik mamono, you're damaging his stuff. My de beni beni. Right, if he wants to, it can be poded with a set. So it's really his, just minus the amount of a sheep. How could you go and be ma'arifin? He says, and it's very possible that if somebody just goes and breaks the neck of someone else's donkey, so you would be chayiv nezek. And he adds in as well, and then he quotes from the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, right, Mashim Fapal in Yinkadushin, Bepetra Chamor, B'may de Beini Beini, right, Achak Kuponim, Amomun Delay, it's his money, V'im Kain, Ein Acher Yachol Larov, Mitzvah Ala Bailim, right, Ach Padia, Kevin de Chamor, Hu Al Shal Bailim, Efshar De Ein Mitzvah Lov Kedas Tosos, El Al Kol Yish Mi Yisrael. That he talks about that maybe it is possible that because it could be done, owned by anybody, so maybe, so therefore, nobody, maybe somebody else could be ma'arifit, but that's not how we assume. But he says, v'nafkamina gamkein, another nafkamina to this question. Let's say somebody else does go ahead and be podet. So he's not chayiv mishum chotifas ha-mitzvos. That you're not chayiv, right? There's this permission granted. It's not really your mitzvah. You maybe has first dibs to it, but it's not really your mitzvah. Somebody else could go ahead and do it. But therefore, you don't have, and the mitzvah is not incumbent on the Baal himself. But when it comes to breaking the neck, so he says that only the Baal could do, right? Maybe you're also chayiv because you stole the mitzvah from the Baal. So what happens? What is your chiv if you steal a mitzvah from a Baal? So the concept of paying him 10 zehuvim. That there is a, that's sort of the value that's put on it. So if somebody has the ability to do a mitzvah and you pull it out from him at the last minute, so then you would be chayiv the 10 zehuvim. So the Minchas Chinuch says this is also based on that question of, is it your mitzvah or is it everybody's mitzvah? And maybe if it's everybody's mitzvah, then you would be chayiv the 10 zehuvim. But he says, but because it's his, it belongs to the owner, so maybe he's only the one, only one that would do it, and therefore you would be chayiv the yud zehuvim. Okay, I think that pretty much covers enough of us to get a good feeling as to what's going on. There is an idea. Anytime there is a pig in a ben, right? There's videos of it that are taken, and like they try to get people to come. Like this video in school in Baltimore had like all the rabbanim from Baltimore sitting there present, and it's like it's just very odd because you have this donkey showing up, and like everybody's like. Like, whoa, the donkey's in. And there's a minute to dress the donkey up, that you, like, they put jewelry on the donkey, and, like, the kids made art projects to put on the donkey, and all this kind of stuff. They point out in the Dirshu Shulchan Aruch here, it says you have to be a little careful, because, again, the donkey is Aser Bahana, the donkey, before it is Poda, is not supposed to carry, you know, is not supposed to be bearing any weight. So if you put too much jewelry on it, so maybe you're in violation of carrying too much weight. But that is the minhag. Whenever it is done, they sort of dress up the donkey somewhat. I remember seeing a couple of years ago a video of a Pidyon Petach Hamor taking place in Hawaii. So they put all the, what are those things called? Those, the what?
The flower necklaces.
Right, they put all these flower necklaces on the donkey and things like that. I'm not sure why the seh doesn't get anything. I mean, it's being poda onto the seh. I guess the seh doesn't have kedusha. I mean, at that point, the donkey has kedusha. So therefore, we sort of make it look nice. But whatever. So, and then there's a further question, which also came up with Shiluach HaKein, of like the idea of going out of your way in order to accomplish mitzvos. That like there are people that like specifically go and figure out a way to purchase a donkey with the hope that it will have a boy, and then they could be yotzei the mitzvah pidyon aben, pidyon peter chamor. So like, is there an idea of like going out of your way to perform a mitzvah that isn't really like in your life? I mean, you know, like. Like, you know, we have the things that we're supposed to do, and then there's like things that are specific for people in specific jobs and stuff. So nowadays, people don't generally own donkeys. So is there a reason to go out of your way in order to figure out a way to fulfill the mitzvah of pidyon chamor? There is a Rav Chaim Kanievsky did it. There is a in the Dirshu here. I meant to get the pictures from in the biography. I think it has a picture of him doing a pidyon petach chamor, and it comments that he wanted all the children of his family to come. But it doesn't say necessarily all the adults should come. All the adults that are learning Torah, so is it worth Bittul Torah in order to go ahead and do it? So that's like sort of like a question that is hanging over this as well. But anyways, Pidyon Petach Hamor, when we get to the end of this week's Parsha, there's that Pasuk, it's like, what in the world is going on here? So at least we have a little bit of a better understanding as to this mitzvah. And next week, I'm away, so I think no shir next week. And the week after, we will pick up Emir Hashem with Hilchos Chala. Hilchos Chala should have has all sorts of commercial applications that I am looking forward to figuring out because they have commercial applications in my business right on a regular basis. So we'll Emir Hashem pick up with Hilchos Chala in 2 weeks.
Okay.